I think it's one page.
Just one deep page. So, first of all, thank you very much for hosting.
We're learning in English from my grandmother's yard site is tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Today's Thursday. Tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
Esther Basiak.
Esther Basiak. Okay. Through our learning tonight. So first of all, thank you, Zachary, for hosting this year. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
It takes a lot of Cheshiva Jews to come out the week before Shavuos with all the things going on to learn and to get ready for the Chag. So in general, Chassidus, one of the things that's important to note, and if you've learned Chassidus, you kind of get this sense that Chassidus is in many ways about experience. It's about going through a Chag, not just as a Chag, but as a spiritual experience. And so therefore, any Chassidic Sefer on any Parsha, or for that matter, any Chag, is going to try to tap into what the experience is of that Chag that you're supposed to kind of tap into, and then work on yourself through. So this is going to be no different. You're going to try to figure out what Kabbalah Sator is all about, tap into that, so we know what we're supposed to do on Shavuos. So then, Sivah Shalom, Rav Shalom Noach Ben Azovsky, so he is actually, was the Rebbe of Slonim, which was about a 200-year dynasty of Hasidim. So he actually was the Rebbe from 1981 to 2000. People don't realize this is a very new Sefer, and he was he died only 18 years ago. And so the Slonim, Hasidim, even though they're only 200 years old, unfortunately, the town of Slonim in the Holocaust was almost completely destroyed. They had to totally rebuild almost from scratch in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the small numbers split the Hasidim into two. So in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, you have two big pockets of Slonim Hasidim. And the ones in Yerushalayim are called I wrote it down, Viesa. Anyone's Yiddish good? Viesa means white. The other ones in Yerushalayim are called Shvarza.
Yeah.
Black. So you're close, because the Nesiva Shalom, who was the Rebbe, who I guess was in Bnei Brak, so his beard was white, and the one with the black beard went to Yerushalayim, but so now you have Slum Hasidim in two different places.
It happened when you got older.
Right.
Got it.
Just two more points about the Nesiva Shalom. So two incredible chops about this Sefer. One is, even though we had lots of Hasidic writings all over the place, this is one of the first Sfarim that actually put him in a tremendously organized fashion. So I can go to any Parsha, open up, do an essay, any Chag, read an essay, and it's very organized so that anyone could access it. And two, it's kind of like Hasidus 101. So I myself have a hard time learning Chabad Hasidus. The Baal Shem Tov is hard to learn. It's very terse. But the Nesivos Shalom is lengthy and explanatory. And so for us who don't, you know, we don't read Hasidus all the time, this is amazing. The only challenge with the Nesivos Shalom is his abbreviations. So I'll give you a few fun trivia abbreviations tonight. Okay, here we go. Unasana tokef kedushas halayla. So this is a phrase normally used for Rosh Hashanah that we are going to relate to you the kedusha of, normally it says the yom of Rosh Hashanah, right? We have a chazan here. So unasana tokef, right? So, but for Hasidus, every night has a power, and no more Rosh Hashanah than any other chag, that there's a power of the kedusha of that moment that needs to be related and spoken about. So it says the Nesiva Shalom, Hine kemosha omim b'Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim unasana tokev kedushas ha-yom, roi lisnos tokev kedushas ha-layla ha-kadosh hazeh, shemivchinos rabos nimtza kizeh ha-layla nala umiromam v'yosem mikol ha-shana. This night, just like Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur, has a kedusha, and therefore, because of the, it's on us to be able to relate the kedusha of the night, all different b'chinos, all different levels, all different aspects, that are incredibly lofty and high, even higher than any other time in the year. Ukalashon ha-pri eitz chayim, which is a sefer of the Arizal. Mi-Arizal shehoras chayi adam toli bazeh ha-layla. That there's some sort of direction or focus of people that depend on this night. So it's a very holy night. Ukadisa b'sfarim ha-kadoshim kol inyan ha-tikunim ha-nasim b'layla hazeh, shebo nishlam tikun kol seder amidos, ki kol amidos mitota le'ilah, one of the holy things about Shavuos is that it's the end of Sfiras Omer. And if anyone says the, I guess, Kabbalistic oriented lines at the end of counting Sphira, so it's Hod Sheva Hod, Hod Sheva Chesed, right? But the goal really is to be working on our Midos the entire 7 weeks, so that Shavuos, we're now ready to receive the Torah. So he says that because this night we've accomplished every single aspect of working on ourselves, so now, Ach v'layla hazeh, hu tikun midas keser anishlam l'machar b'kadushas keser de musaf. And if you daven nusach sfar, there's going to be a keter, right? Keter yitni l'cha. So there's going to be a keter, that's going to be really the climax of all the Sfiras Omer on Shavuos. And so that climax culminates on this night, on this day of Shavuos. All the Sfiras Omer, all that we've done to work on ourselves, is going to now come to a hold where we achieve a level of Kedusha on Shavuos. Ba'al derech ha'avoda yesh lahavim. Avoda is, what's the goal, what's the work of tonight? What do we have to understand? Inyan avodas ha'kodesh ha'vlev ha'zeh. We have to understand what is the work, the holy work we're supposed to do on this night. Ke'yosh shevek kabbalas ha'torah hi nitzchis. Nitzchis means that it's everlasting, it's eternal. So, big important idea in Chassidus is that if Yetzias Mitzrayim happened then, so it also happens every single year. If Har Sinai happened then, it happens every single year. So every year we are re-experiencing whatever happened, and so it means that we almost have to channel ourselves in a way that it's as if we're going through the exact same experience. People say in terms of the Pesach Seder that we're re-experiencing that moment, but for Chassidus really it's every single Purim. Every Purim is a re-experiencing of Purim. So, Kiyos Shekabalas HaTorah Nitzchis, receiving the Torah was an everlasting moment that is always happening. It happens every single year at this time.
Oh,
because it's a future.
It's a future tense.
Right. And yeah, there very well could be. Definitely, you know, that could be a connection specifically to Shavuos. In general, that's a philosophy, though, that every single chag does it. This is Zman Torah Tenu, meaning right now is this Zman Torah Tenu. If we're learning on Shavuos night, we are receiving Torah the next day. And if you're going to stand at Har Sinai in Hollywood, Florida, and receive the Torah the next day, it means that you have to prepare yourself. You have to think about what you have to do in order to be ready for that day. All right, so that's the goal tonight. Good?
Tonight's a perfect time to start, right? Didn't they start?
Yeah,
preparing?
Sure, they have both. Well, 3 days. So really, that would have been Thursday, but we need extra days. Okay. Anyone know this acronym? First word on the second line? It's the 7-word acronym. Is Arusa de la Ila'a. Okay. An awakening from above. In Chassidus, there's two kinds of awakenings. There's two ways of accomplishing Kedusha. There's Isarusa, an awakening from below, and an awakening from above. Awakening from above is like when God does something and we didn't even deserve it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's almost like He did something because He wanted to accomplish something, but we could have been in the most negative place, but we got it anyways. Isarusa dilatata is when our efforts, our energy actually created the Kedusha. So we're going to see how Shavuos and Pesach are on opposite sides of that spectrum. Hashem says, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to raise you up all on the wings of eagles and bring you to me. Okay? We're not doing anything. He's just going to do that. That's what I'm going to do tonight. You are at the 49th level of Tumah. You are really fooling around doing negative things in Mitzrayim, but I'm going to take you out and I'm going to put you on the wings of eagles and take you out of Mitzrayim. Masha Ein Kein Kabbalas HaTorah. But the night of receiving the Torah was very different. We did something. There's some sort of avoda that we accomplished on the night of Kabbalas HaTorah that created Kedusha. That you have to listen to my voice. Kabbalas HaTorah, we had to do something. We had to listen. We had to accept the Torah. We had to have some sort of buy-in. If we bought in, the Kedusha would come. Versus Pesach, it was something that no matter what we were doing, Hashem was going to give us Kedusha. So therefore, he's going to ask three questions that are going to drive this piece. Okay, here we go. Three questions. One. On the fizah, yesh levayir mahatzah chanash al Yisrael shayada zachul kabbalas Torah. Kabbalas Torah. First of all, what was the preparation they did? Right, they had to do something. He said, "Rusa dila tata." What was the energy they put forth in order to receive the Torah? Okay. V'matzina v'chazal shevischus emuna nigalu avaseinu v'mitzrayim. And if our faith redeemed us and our forefathers from Mitzrayim. So then the das b'schus ma, what did we do? Kivu Yisrael as a Torah. What did we do in order to receive the Torah? Okay? So in what merit? What was our preparation? Kamosha kasavti yish lahavin ma isa ba'agada shal Pesach. This is in the Dayenu. Karvana liv ni'ar Sinai v'lona san lano es a Torah Dayenu. If it would have gotten our Sinai, but nothing else would have happened, Dayenu. So you can ask, like, what's the chab of being in our Sinai? Look at the Torah. So he's going to want to develop that there's something incredibly holy and powerful about what happened in our Sinai even before we got the Torah. In other words, the achana, preparation, the energy, the effort that we put forth actually was something so holy that that in itself being in our Sinai was enough, dayinu. And so we have to figure out what that is. And he starts to hint to you, he says, Zubiru b'zeh demalas hakrev al har Sinai haynu ha de paska zuha masa. The fact that we got to our Sinai meant our filth, Zuhamas, like icky stuff, it stopped. The Gemara talks about how the nations of the world, everyone was filthy. The whole world was filthy, had Zuhamah. But when the Jews got to our Sinai, their filth, I guess, stopped, no more filth. And everyone else, it continued. So there was something incredible being there that we became this Tahor, clean nation. V'yesh Levar, third question, Ma Haisa Yisarusa Dilatata Shai Yisrael. So what did they do? How did they awaken themselves from below in order to stop whatever dirt they had upon them? And with this, we're going to be able to figure out what we are supposed to do.
Seems like it's one question.
Yeah, it's one question. It's
with parts.
You know, I don't even say it's parts. I think that he's just going to try to look at it from the three separate vantage points, but it's all asking, what did we do? So, what was the awakening we did in order to achieve Kedusha?
Right.
That's one. Two, what was the Hachana that we did in order to receive the Torah? And also, if we merited, which I guess Bishut is kind of more like the Hachana, but it could be from something, it could be something random. A Schut could be something even not effort. But yeah, true. They all really ask the same question, but kind of from three different avenues. All right, ready? All right, here we go. Yivor api mamrei chazal b'shasha hiktimu yisrael nasa l'nishma ba'u shishim ribo kamalchei asharis l'chol echad ve'echad yisrael kashru lo shnei ksarim echad k'neged nasa v'echad k'neged nishma. The chazal say that when Bnei Yisrael said nasa before nishma, there were 600,000 Malachi Ashari, angels, and they gave each one of the Jewish people two crowns, one called Nasa and one called Nishma. Okay, so they said Nasa and Nishma, boom, all the angels were preparing these crowns, every Jewish person now got this crown. Oda Muzal, Chazal also say, B'shashek dimu yisrael Nasa and Nishma, Yatsa Sabaskov Amra Migila Livni Razesh Malachi Asharis Mishtam Shimbo Vachulai. When they said Nasa before Nishma, so Basko, Hashem came out and said, who told my kids about this secret? Who revealed to them this incredibly deep thing called Nasa Vanishma that they just said? So something very big happened with Nasa Vanishma. Something powerful. Something that the Malachi Asharis are doing things. Hashem comes out and says that something secret was revealed. What was it? Mikola amor mashma deha gufa haisa achana shal Yisrael. This is what the Jewish people did before they even got the Torah. Shehikdimu na'asa l'nishma u'mikoach zeyocho l'kabal es haTorah. That's the main point. They said na'asa before nishma, and because of that statement, they were zeyocho for the Torah. Okay, we're going to talk about why that is. What is it about na'asa l'nishma? Yeah, we have our own knowledge about. There's a beauty to saying that you can do something even if you don't understand it, and that's beautiful unto itself. But there's a holy depth to it as well that the Seal of Shalom is going to develop. But certainly that is what happened that Urizocha, Kechabalas Torah, that was the awakening, and that was the impetus for Kedusha. Okay, so what was Na'asam Nishma? What did it accomplish? So says in Nesiv Lashon, V'yesh lomar mashmalsa enyan sheikdimu na'asa, V'ekrama aloso hi b'kach, shizu b'chinas his batlus gemura livnei Hashem Yisbarach. It was a total bittul, a total getting out of the way for Hashem to take center stage. We said na'asa. When you say na'asa, if you think about it, you're kind of saying like, what I want, what my preconceived notions are, what my preferences might be, don't even matter. I'm going to do it. And that's basically the thing that you, Hashem, take center stage. What you want takes center stage here. And so that total bittul, that intense, almost removal of each individual person to make room for Hashem and have Hashem be at the forefront, that was a very holy thing.
It's a moment. It's 100% a moment.
What?
It's a 100%.
Yeah, I mean,
100%.
It's,
Hashem said, "Na'aseh," that's it. That's what
right. I guess I would say emunah and bittul are two different things. But you need emunah in order to get bittul, right? You have to either believe, or if not believe, you have to be confident enough that there's something there. So I guess emunah, in order to say, I don't need to have a preference here, whatever Hashem wants is what goes. So yeah, maybe yeah, Emunah is almost a prerequisite for Bittul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alright, it's a prerequisite for Bittul. So okay, so that's what we did. Hakdamas Nasa Lanishma Hainu Shanasa Ribsona Yizbarach Loshim Tanai. We're willing to do the Ratzon of Hashem with any sort of condition. If it's in my schedule, if I'm able to make it work. No, Boshim tonight. No condition. Af kodem shenishma. Even if before I understand it, I have no clue what this din means or why I have to do it, but I'm willing to do it. Einenu tzrichin kol lahavin or lahargish. I don't even need to have a good experience doing it first. I'm just gonna do it. Lo, I don't need a lahavin or lahargish tama mitzvos of Yitzbarach. I don't even need to feel it. I don't need to understand it. I'm willing to just do it because you're the Ribono Shel Olam and you're asking me to do something. Just because Hashem commanded it. Mekeven shezeh bitlu atzma megar min Hashem Yisbarach, zachu al yidei zeh lakabalas haTorah. That's how we were able to receive the Torah. That's why Hashem gave us the Torah. Ba'asher zoya madriga gavua b'yoser b'avodas Hashem, se Yehudi mevatel atzma legamrei ke'ayin ve'efes mibnei Yisbarach. The highest level of avodas Hashem is if a person's able to say, I am nothing in front of Hashem. Hashem is ultimately, He's the creator. He's the one asking me to do everything in my life, and therefore I'm willing to do it. And that's really the highest level, and that's what we achieved on Shavuos at our Sinai. So now, the Nesiv HaShalom is kind of going to go through a few different elements of this. This is the thesis. This is what we did. This is why it was so holy. And now he's going to do three things. One, he's going to talk about all the different ramifications of Bittul. When you step out of the way and you allow Hashem to come in your life, first of all, how do you do that? And what happens when you do that? He's also going to talk about how this affects the world. Okay, not just my life, but the world as a whole, and how at our Sinai it affected the whole world. And he's also going to get practical in terms of the Avodah on Shavuos. Okay. So says the Nesiv HaShalom, all the removal of all chatayim, kapara, is dependent on me recognizing Hashem, His batlus. When a person says, I am nothing. Why did our filth leave us? We developed such a holiness. There was such an intense level that we had achieved that we were clean. We were pure. We become almost angels at that moment when we were makdim nasa nishma. And there's a constant in halacha, hamachubar le tahor tahor. So mechubar, connected in the Torah, Torah. And one who is connected to that which is pure, is pure. It exists in the Mishnayos and Kalim. If you have something, a kli which is Torah, and touches another kli which is Torah, so it can make it Torah. But in spirituality, it's the same thing. When we achieve a sense of bittul and just connect ourselves to God in such a deep way, we ourselves achieve a level of holiness that's unparalleled.
Is he saying that we're not... Are we saying now that Shavuos night, we're not saying that we're nothing, but we're saying that we're soldiers almost?
Yes. Yes.
So that's even it's different than saying you're nothing.
Right. You...
No?
Your preferences are not important. Your preconceived conditions by which you're gonna have before you do what Hashem asks of you. You Vittel is saying that those.
It's one thing to say I'm nothing and I'm in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and okay, and that, it's another thing to say I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do.
Right. So I guess maybe this is an application of saying that you're nothing. He's more focusing on the saying you're nothing to the extent that you're saying me and what I want is not important.
So is it that you're saying that you're nothing or that you're just submissive?
More submission
to Hashem. It's not taking away from what you are, but everything that you are is...
Yes, right. So submission would be a good word.
Right. Doesn't say that really, that you're nothing.
I'm saying bittul almost sound when we think of chametz, you know,
right,
that's
right.
Bittul, but that's something different. Bittul in this case
But if we look back at the words in the middle of that paragraph, when it says we're ayin and efes, it doesn't end there. It says nipanav.
Right.
So it's like, okay, in relation to him,
this might be a sort of love.
It doesn't mean I'm nothing.
Right.
It's not like the strands of the Musar movement where you really, you know, kept the dust, the dirt in your pocket to just realize that you are nothing but dirt and filth. Like, that's not what we're talking here.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think that's what he's saying at all.
Yeah, agreed.
It's different than Yom Kippur. Kippur, you might be like, I'm nothing. I'm just dirt. Keep me going. And here you're saying, I'm your servant.
Right.
What?
It's different in
I think that's a... Yeah, that's a good
one. Yeah.
I think you never... You don't feel that way.
I mean, Yom Kippur...
I'm not worthy. Because
I'm the son. You cannot be nothing.
Right, I mean...
You are Zach.
No, Yom Kippur, I'm not...
No,
Yom Kippur, I'm not...
No,
you
submit your question.
You say you came from dust and you're going back to dust, but that right now you're not dust. You still have something.
You're saying for Hashem. Yeah, I mean, Yom Kippur, I think, is a separate avoda altogether. I think that Yom Kippur might be
submission of your will.
The bittul of Yom Kippur is more like we wear white. We act like angels. Us and Hashem are almost like not even human beings. We're godly. So it's like our humanness doesn't even exist. We don't eat. We really remove ourselves from human and become
angel.
They're nothing. Here you're just submissing. This is
it's submissive with
submitting. Yeah.
But it's submitting, but with a sense of duty.
Right.
What?
Very good.
What did he say?
Hakna. He's actually going to use that.
That's what we always say in the religion.
Yeah, he's actually gonna bring him a statement of Chazal that kind of uses that phrase. Okay, so let's develop this a little bit more. So he says, we're in like maybe 8 lines up. V'zeh perish maimer Chazal shemalach yasharos hiktiru kol Yehudi bebeis kasarim echad keneged nasa echad keneged nishma. When we got these crowns, one for nasa, one for nishma, hakavan al inyan hakdima shehikdimu nasa nishma. It was because we put Nasa before Nishma. It wasn't just that we said both, that we put one before the other. Dehainu shekibolim as a Nasa as a Nishma, the Madriga Yonah mitochid batlus gemura lefanav yisbarach. Before Hashem, we totally submitted ourselves to Him. V'zeh pirish mi gila levnei raz zeh shemalachi asharas mishamshim bo. When Hashem says, "Who revealed the secret?" This is almost what angels are, that they are absolutely nothing, because they're not even flesh before Hashem. They really have nothing. And because we were able to get out of the way and say whatever you want, Hashem, I'm willing to do, then the Torah could come into our lives. Then Hashem would say, okay, you are willing to totally submit to me, so now I can give you this thing called the Torah because you're ready. And even more so, you've achieved a holiness that you're ready for. Okay.
Do you think that if they put it in a different order, Mishnah and Aseh, it would be less of a titula of Atzmeinu? There wouldn't have been any Bittul. There's no Bittul?
Yeah, his point is that that would be the opposite of Bittul, because as you're saying, I'll understand and then I'll do, is like what I want comes before what Hashem wants. Which I guess is the opposite of Bittul is Yeshus. Your kind of existence comes first.
How does he reconcile the Midrash that Hashem has a mountain over there?
Oh, he's going to get to it in.
Look at you.
Are you reading ahead?
You gave this to me last time.
Barasha Kevanta.
Yeah. No, I mean, if we don't get to it, I'll address it. He's going to talk about what it meant that Hashem lifted the mountain over our heads, I guess. If not referring to that Gemara itself, he's going to refer to what it is that intense fear, you know, element of Har Sinai, how does that come into this? In this next paragraph. Okay, and if he doesn't talk about that Gemara specifically, he's going to touch on that idea. Okay, here we go. Part of the achana for Kabbalah's Torah was that the entire people in the camp trembled. Okay, that's a sense of fear, of awe. The Torah was given it with fear, with trepidation, year of fear. Reses is like a shaking, uvizeah, like a trembling. So the Gemara says that's how we got the Torah. And I would add, Gemara on Shabbos says, he lifted the Har Sinai over our heads. He forced us. We felt compelled. We had to. But there's a sense of fear and awe and trembling that was a part of our experience. So if I stop now, you'll say, okay, it doesn't make sense. Because when I think of, you know, me getting out of the way, letting Hashem in, that's like a beautiful, wonderful, spiritual experience. It's not a negative thing. It's a really nice thing. But there's also this other element to Har Sinai, which was intense and kind of scary. So how do those two things fit together? How do both experiences kind of coincide?
To your will,
right?
You have total control. It's very scary to not have any control.
Okay. Okay, good, right. So to some degree, we feel good and confident in control. Lack of that is a scary thing.
Very much.
Okay, good. So that's going to be kind of where we're going here, that there's an element here of relinquishing or getting out of the way that almost, maybe not lose control, but he's going to talk about how Hashem now being there in all his full glory is a little bit intense. Okay, here we go. He says, "Kikol oche Yehudi shari b'chashechas achomir." As long as a Jewish person is entrenched in the darkness of physicality, this is an amazing line. "Einu roa eskadlu sabori." He's not able to see the greatness of Hashem. Meaning, if you're sitting there scuffing down an entire meal and you can't breathe, so it's hard to have a spiritual experience. All right. If you're engaged in something that's so physical and you're entrenched in physical desires, and it can be very hard to see the greatness of Hashem. Now, caveat, we believe Judaism is taking that physicality and making it kadosh. But notwithstanding the fact that it becomes a lot harder to see Hashem the more of a physical experience you're involved in. So if a person is engaged in that physicality, it's hard to see Hashem. You could have a spiritual experience, but if you're you know, just your head's in taiva and your head's in physicality, so then you're not going to feel the same level of spirituality. Lo ima, no awe, no yira, lo reses, lo zeah, no sort of trembling. So when Bnei Yisrael proceeded Na'asev to Nishma, Bidlu Asma Garmi Lashem Yisbarach, Nis Natku Mimosos Achomer. They disconnected themselves entirely from physicality. Ro'u Ein Ba'ein Eskadula Sabore Benismali Ba'ema V'yira B'Reses V'Zeah. They saw, Ein Ba'ein is eye to eye, but Panim Ha'Panim, they saw Hashem almost face to face. And once you're doing that, there's a sense of intensity. And it was only because they did something so holy, they achieved a level of holiness, they removed themselves almost to some degree from elements of the physical world. When you do that, Hashem is so strong, so intense, so real, so present, that it's intense. There's a sense of shaking. There's an awe of the experience. I'll just prove it. You know, if you, Chazal say that, again, it's a debate in the Mefarshim, how many of the Dibros did Hashem say to Bnei Israel, and how many did he say through Moshe? So I think the accepted Shita is that he said two. They couldn't handle it. They said to Moshe, we're done, this is too much. And the last eight, he told to Moshe, Moshe told Bnei Israel. So that fits very well with this, that there was such a Kedusha that they achieved, there was such an intense feeling of the Ribono Shel in that moment. They shook so much they couldn't even handle it. And that's the Zeya, that's the Yira, that's the Ema that he's talking about. We almost didn't know what to do with ourselves. And that is the holiness. But by the way, it's a thing in spirituality in general, that sometimes, before we're Makadish the whole, sometimes you have to step out a little bit and grab certain spiritual experiences in order to then have that sense of charge to then go back in and bring it into physicality, just like Har Sinai was a spiritual experience that we then took with us going forward. She says, "All your days that Gam Yisigu as Darga Hayloid VeYisiatsu V'Tachtis Ar, that you achieve the level of standing underneath the mountain." Rumas also Tachlis Ahachna, Hachna. You were cheating. You got ahead. They stood under the mountain. We achieved a level of being under the mountain, like it smushed us, kind of. Hachna. Humility, right? We and our needs are not important right now. Hachna, nemuchim, we are short, yeah. Nishvelim and low. Afilu mihar Sinai, even like mihar Sinai from Har Sinai. I think it means like under Har Sinai, meaning in relation to Har Sinai, we are small. We are ephes. Even though we're the Jewish people, even Har Sinai is a mountain and it's a holy mountain. But I guess there's something that we achieved in terms of hachna there that really spoke to this experience. This was an essential element to receiving the Torah. That we needed to, for a moment, take away, remove ourselves from ourselves, and also remove ourselves from physicality. We needed to be one with Hashem in that moment. And a person is only going to get that if he steps for a moment, A, submits himself to Hashem, and B, steps out of physicality for a moment in order to achieve that experience.
You think this is why Shavuos is only 2 days, and the other chagim are a week?
You mean in terms of the intensity of the...
intensity of this event doesn't allow us to have that week.
First.
I think we'll say that with every holiday.
No.
Well, this is the only one that's...
Every holiday, it's like, Shavuos is on Pesach.
Well, you know, honestly, to Zachary's point, Chol HaMoed, the main avoda of Chol HaMoed, just all be pshat, is that you're bringing the Moed into the Chol, right? You have a few weekdays to take what you charged up with and put it in the weekday. But maybe there's no Chol HaMoed on Shavuos. Maybe it's only Moed. Because it's
Chol HaMoed. It's true.
Well, there are those that only say that, that these 7 weeks have all been a Chol Hamoed.
Yes, the Ramban says that, right.
And now this is the Atzeret, which is just a culmination.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah,
but right. We still have the Shoshur Galim, and, you know, this is the only regular, there's only one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good, I think that's a, that it definitely fits with this. And I think what, Avi?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Avi or Donnie? And I followed it.
It's Avi.
No, not Avi. Not Avi. But I was saying that, like, you have a, you have, the Ramban says that basically it's Pesach, and then the Chol Hamoed between Pesach and Shavuos is Sfiras HaOmer, and then the end of the Chol Hamoed is Shavuos. But to some degree, you know, there's no Chol Hamoed because you've almost done all of the mixing and matching in your life, and now there's this, maybe this entirely spiritual experience to climax the whole thing. And if you see the whole thing as one experience, then maybe this is the climax with an intense experience of spirituality.
One of the names of Shavuos Atzeres, does it have any of those? It is, so it's like a stay back. It's the end of all the, of this experience.
Well,
it's stay back till the end.
Like Shmini Atzeres?
It's not, no, it's the...
Well, it is referred to as Atzeres, but...
It's referred to as Atzeres, it's not the end. It's the second of the Neil Mizorim.
Oh, so the one thing was like the culmination?
Between Pesach
and
Shavuos. Oh, yeah.
So then it's the end of the, you know...
Yeah.
No, in general, it's kind of a funny thing why Shavuos is referred to as Atzeres. It has to do with the harvest, mostly, but... All chagim are actually in Torah referred to as atzeres because we hold back from melacha.
Okay.
But Shavuos has a specific atzeres, but not having to do with the melacha, just having to harvest. Okay, two more paragraphs. Yeah, that's good.
Sure.
All right, here we go.
For it.
All right, so we're going to now talk about what impact this had on the world. Don't think Or LaGoyim is just if I go out there and I advocate for, you know, Judaism or advocate for Israel with that too. But there's an element to the Kedusha, the spirituality of what we do that impacts every single element of the world. Okay, here we go. V'zehu mashe kazal in, this is in Musaf Rosh Hashanah, okay, apparently. Avi yukar ha-miyad. Ata neglesa be'anan kivodcha al am kodshecha l'daber imam v'gomer. That you are going to be revealed in a cloud of your glory, on the people, on your holy people to speak with them. Okay? Gam kol olam kulo chal mipanecha, and the entire people are going to kind of have a sense of awe of you, before you. Ubrios precious charadu, and all of the creations are going to tremble, mimcha from before you. Bigalos vecha malkeinu ahar sinai lelamed ahar sinai. And all of the... creations, when you reveal yourself, your kingship on Har Sinai, they're going to tremble. In order to teach Torah mitzvahs, in other words, there's a thing that's going to happen where all of creation is going to tremble or stop or have some sort of awe, and that's going to allow Hashem to teach the Jewish people the Torah at Har Sinai. Okay? And this is based on a medrash. Of a midrash, Shmos Rav Achav Tes Tes Isa. Kishenasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Torah. When Hashem gave us the Torah, what happened? Tzipor Lo Tzavach. Bird didn't chirp. He Ofo Parach. The fowl did not fly. Shor Lo Ga. The ox did not. I don't know. Make a loud sound. Ofanim Lo Afu. Birds didn't fly. Srafim, which are Sorry. Ofanim, not birds. Ofanim, like the Chayat HaKodesh. The angels. Lo afu. They didn't flutter their wings. Srafim lo amru kadosh. And the other kinds of angels didn't say kadosh. In other words, and hayam lo nizdazeya, and the sea was entirely still. Habrios lo dibru, and not one human being spoke. El haolam shotek. The entire world was quiet. The animals, human beings, the malachim. Not, there was not a sound in the entire world. What happened? V'yotzakol, and then, at that moment, as soon as that happened, yotzakol, anochi Hashem lokecha. Hashem was able to give the Torah. Beautiful midrash. So what's the pshat? What is this midrash kind of coming to tell us about the experience of Har Sinai? D'mashmos advarim yishevishas matan Torah ha'isa kol abrios b'teila umivu telis l'shem yisbarach. It wasn't just us. All of creation totally submitted themselves to the Ribono Shel Olam. And, to some degree, even though we may be on a higher level of creation, but every single aspect of creation being created by Hashem means they have the ability to submit their will to Hashem, to some degree. So, Shekol Olam Kulo Chan Panecha, the entire world was filled with awe of you. Brios Bereishis Charadu, and all the creations of creation trembled mimcha from before you, when you reveal your kingship before Har Sinai. This is just something to think about, that sometimes quiet is a way to hear Hashem. If there's a lot of noise, it's the TV, it's the headphones, it's the all the other things that we are filling ourselves with noise. Noise is important, but in order to hear Hashem, sometimes it needs to be a little bit of silence, a little bit of quiet. At the beach, in your home, in your room, at shul, whatever it is, the quiet. Pinon?
We know.
If I don't. Yeah, silence.
I mean, that has more like a. But you don't, it's also, as a fellow said, but you don't know, we know, but when you don't, has more of a taking negative condition when something happens to you that's not so also good. You accept it, but you don't complain.
Right. I guess something that fits with this a little bit.
That's a manifestation of Hashem that you're accepting.
Right.
Hashem, you're saying
right.
Hashem.
Right. Right. Yeah, the silence, if you're able to be silent or you're able to accept Hashem, you gotta quiet things. Yeah. If I don't Aram, it's true. So the entire world had this. So, Inachanami, the Jewish people are the ones that accepted the Torah. They totally submitted themselves to Hashem. And this hitbatlus, this submitting themselves, had an effect on all of creation. Shakula niyasa betila uvetelas l'shem yisbarach. It's almost like orla goyim or orla bria, right? We did something, and that Klal Yisrael being their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam had such a powerful effect on the entire world. We did it; the whole world almost took charge as well. Shakol namo, because everyone was standing there. Again, sipot lo tzavach, ov lo parach, shor lo nega, hayam lo nizdazeya. And now we use the word atzeres, v'abriya kula atzeres. We're at the fourth line from the top of the second column. V'abriya kula atzeres, atzra, sorry. The entire creation stopped, es nishma, its breath, b'shah she'amar ha-kadosh baruch ha-anoshi ha-anochi ha-shem lo-kecha. And that's a hint towards Shavuos a little bit, right? The atzra, the fact that we stopped, totally stopped, entirely filling the space, letting the space fill with Hashem, that's atzra, that's atzeres, that's Shavuos. Shemavad HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ata shum davar v'shum mitzius. Shemavad HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that other than Hashem, right now there's nothing, no thing, shum mitzius, no existence, rak anochi Hashem lokecha, just Hashem. Okay, now a little bit of a drash. The Gemara of Bodhisattva says, what does it mean? Hashem, it was evening and morning, the sixth day. So there's in Halacha, there's in Machshava. One pshat is, hey, Yisera Lamali, why do I need this extra hey? Melamed Shehisna Akodesh Baruch Hu Imasa Bereishis. Hashem made a condition with creation. He made a deal. He said, "V'amalam, im Yisra Mekav Masa Torah Mutav. If they receive the Torah, they accept the Torah, good. V'imlav, Efoch Esa Olam L'Tov V'Vohum. I am going to turn the whole world and make it into Tov V'Vohum." Right? In other words, creation, they better be quiet. They better sit down and wait and listen and stop moving and talking, because that's how they're going to make it that Hashem doesn't revert the whole world to Tohu Vohu. Right. So that's this idea that Hashem, when He created the whole world, he had in his mind that our acceptance of the Torah, our Nasa and Nishma, was so fundamental that if it wasn't going to happen, then the whole world doesn't have a purpose. And that's the effect Nasa and Nishma was going to have, and then did have on the whole world. The fact that on the side of the Jewish people, they took themselves and submitted themselves to Hashem, then the whole creation did the same thing, so that the world did not come to Tohu Vavohu.
Wow.
You achieve your Kedusha, there's a lot that can happen. Mm-hmm. Alright, so one more thing that the Nesiv HaShalom wants to do in terms of giving you a practical avoda for the day, and then I'll add maybe 2 points. Just as a hakdama, I think, you know, just we all have a neshama. The neshama was given to us by Hashem, but the neshama then becomes a piece of Hashem that we have inside all of us. Therefore, we aren't just united as Klal Yisrael in terms of a identification with Jewish people, but we share this godliness that unites us in a very, not just peoplehood way, but in a very spiritual way. So therefore, there's a godliness to the Jewish people that when you connect with Jewish people, you kind of connect to God Himself. Does that make sense? Okay. So, says Nesiv HaShalom, V'aschalas avodasam shal Yisrael kodem matan Torah haisa, k'mo l'kosov v'yom hazeh abo midbar sinai, v'yichan shama Yisrael neged ahar. The preparation, the work of Yisrael before matan Torah, was that the Torah says, on this day they got to Har Sinai, and they camped there neged ahar. It doesn't say they camped, it says v'yichan. Mm-hmm. It camped. Amr Chazal, famous Chazal, they were of one heart. And they were like one person. There was such unity at Har Sinai, such togetherness, such dedication towards one goal, that they were all one. What's the way to get to Kabbalah Satorah, says the Nesiv HaShalom? We need to have unity. We need to connect and feel the connection with our fellow Jew. That unity, okay, just practically, that could be accomplished. That could be some big rally. You could be in Shul, you could be in a Kiddush. I mean, you could be anywhere where you're realizing just the power, the connection, the love, the empathy that we have for each other as a Jewish people. And that connection, that bond, is also part of the preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Because to some degree we need each other in order to reach these levels. Okay, yeah, I can do my best, and I'll feel Hashem, but if we all do it together, the power is so much greater. The power is so much greater. And Klal Yisrael together is one heart and one people, and then we will be able to truly, in the fullest sense, make way for Hashem and achieve this. And because every single element of Kabbalah Satorah is nitzchi, now we get back to the beginning, it's eternal. It's happening right now. So because of that, therefore the preparation is also every single year. So gamkin all day is ba'alus. Therefore every year we have to submit ourselves. According to his level. Alright? The Gedolim might have the ability to do this on a higher level, us on a lower level, but every single person where they are at to be able to submit themselves a little bit more to the Ribono Shel Olam, that's what Shavuos is asking for us. Well, this Masal Hashem is Baruch Hu V'Kocho Chosav, him, all his talents, all of his strength, V'Chol Hashem, and all of his possessions, everything that he is and has. U'Kemidas Aibalus Kach Zok L'Kabbalah Torah L'Chol Giluyim Mishal Kabbalah Torah. We're going to get the Torah, and we're going to get all of the Kedusha and the revelation of Hashem that comes along with Kabbalah Satorah.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what we're supposed to work on this night. Just like in the upper world, there's some sort of fixing through Keser. But down here on earth, Balayla Kedosha Zeh, Tikkuna Keser with Batlus HaGemura Livnei Hashem Yisbarach. We are going to go through Bittul. Shitachas and Madregos by Vodas Hashem, Amikocha zochi mekabla Torah. Through this, we will be zocha to Kabbalah Satorah. Just 2 points. I think that so practically on Shavuos night, you know, I don't know if we're all going to stay up all night, but certainly everyone will learn a little bit of Torah Shavuos night. Chassidus is telling us that there's an element of what I'm supposed to work on through that Torah learning. Whether you're in a shir, you're in a chavrus, you're in a chabura, there's an element here that really internalizing the Torah you're learning, not just from what it's saying, but from a sense of this is so important and this comes first. And really striving to understand in the pure sense, almost without your own preconceived notions at all. Sometimes we look at Torah and we say, well, that doesn't make sense because I know the following. On Shavuos night, it's about taking all that, putting it aside, just let the Torah come in, and not seven nishma, just really accepting it, both from a sense of limud Torah as well from Klal Yisrael. The extent that we connect to fellow Jews on Shavuos, and we also tap into this. And Mir Shem, we should be zochet to a tremendous connection with Hashem and Kedusha of Har Sinai and the Kabbalah of the Torah this year on Shavuos.
Amen.
Thank you,
man. Thank you.